Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Chloe, I'd knock you through the letterbox in 5 minutes if given half the chance. And the problem is my willy wouldn't get through the letterbox. It'd get caught on that furry bit of the thing. I'd be like, Chloe, is it in yet? He'd be like, no.
Everybody, and welcome to Couples Quarantine episode
14, I think it is.
14. Today we have an old friend of mine, a journalist, he's an author, he's a DJ, and he's a broadcaster, and he's the first gay man we have had on Couples Quarantine.
Well, what?
Yes, certainly won't be the last, but this is my friend Sam Dowler.
Hi, thank you for having me. The first gay in the village.
The first gay in the couple's quarantine village. How do you feel about this honour?
Well, I better not let my people down.
I think it's too late for that, babe.
Although, do you know what? I got a new producer the other day and he was saying, he's a gay boy, and he was saying how much he loves the Kardashians and he doesn't like any movies made before 2000. And I was like...
I can't stand
the Kardashians, and I love old movies.
I should probably intercept here and just tell everybody, including James, because this is the first time you've met Sam.
Well, I heard the reason I wanted you on, Sam, is I heard a voice message you left Chloe, and I was like, I need that guy in my life.
Yeah.
Oh God, what did I say?
And I don't know what it was, but it's very funny.
You
and I was like,
called someone an old bin, and James was immediately like, "Well, that's my new best friend."
I was like, "He sounds exactly as me. Is that like I do? Very, very bitchy. Slightly more camp, but depending on what night of the week it is,
and how much you've had to drink,
and how exactly
ain't that the truth? Well, we can actually come on to this, but Sam, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell everybody how we know each other. Tell everybody what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, so I'm Sam Dowler. Hi. I used to work in the music industry years ago, and then which was really fun. And then I changed, and I went for a job in New York actually, and it was some gross old pedo who tried to touch me, and I didn't like it. So
Harvey Weinstein? I thought he was into women.
I went for a job with Weinstein. No, it was somebody else. I mean, he might end up watching this, so I know who you are. Anyway, so I came back and I got a job as a, because I knew lots of celebs and stuff, I got a job as a columnist on Now Magazine. So I used to go to various showbiz parties and cover
hang
various things.
Hang out with me.
And that's when I met Chloe, and we went, when she was doing Dancing on Ice. And I actually went and stayed up, where was it? Nottingham, I think it was.
And, oh, you came all the way to come and see me.
And I was guest judge on the show. And I got booed by 10,000 people. I loved it. And we just got really messy that night. And then I remember coming down to the ice rink because I was going to do an interview the next day. And then and Torval and Dean were like over the other side of the ice rink. And they were like, "You're right."
Oh God, they've like, seen it all on that tour.
And then everyone who I saw was like, "Sam, you're right." I'd also smashed myself in the face with a remote control at some point in the evening. I mean, it was a big old mess.
Well, it was a remote control, but I mean,
it was definitely pointy. But so we've been friends ever since, and yeah. I haven't seen you in about a year or maybe 2 years. I saw you. You didn't see me. I saw you at Pride, both of you actually.
Oh God, I was.
But James was mobbed, so I did say Chloe, but like there was no use.
Yeah, and also I was not compos mentis at all. We'd been drinking since like 10 a.m.
Yeah. So we ended up going to Soho House, Greek Street, and just met for like a leisurely champagne breakfast. Got steaming, put all the glitter on, and then I was basically passed around like a bag of sweets in a children's playground. There was at one point where I had to go, Chloe, I just need a time out here. I have never been more groped. Honestly.
It was amazing. But
no, do you know, I did think of that because, I mean, although I get it, it's not... I mean, if you took a girl to like somewhere and she was literally groped by thousands of men, obviously they'd all end up going to jail. But like, I mean, obviously, you know, James is a big guy, but I've never been into the whole... I don't think you should grab someone. I don't, I mean, no, whether you're gay or whether you're gay or not.
It is an interesting. It is an interesting point because I, you know, obviously, I think a lot of people initially in the start of my career assumed that, you know, a meathead, that I would probably have homophobic tendencies, or that
no, not in rugby. I went. I played rugby at school, so that's more of a football thing. Rugby boys. Rugby boys is different.
You played rugby. I can't. I did. Can't digest.
I was hooker. Thank you.
Of course you are, babe. Of course.
Anyway, carry on, James.
Yeah, I thought there'd be some, you know, like some potential stereotype here, but I, you know, I've talked many times and why we wanted to have you on the show about, you know, for me, sexuality isn't, yes, there is black and white levels, but actually it's, you know, it's a very grey area and there's lots of different avenues and things about it. And I don't think anyone should be defined by their sexuality. It plays no relevance. You're either a good person or a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what floats your boat. But I have to say that, you know, I always have done lots of things at Pride. I was, you know, very lucky to be on the front page of Attitude and Gay Times and stuff. So and I whenever I need a pep up, I just bowl down Old Compton Street. And women wouldn't piss on me if I'm on fire, but the lads on Old Compton Street.
Why do you keep saying that? Like, there are men and women alike are attracted to you,
babe.
Friend.
Not on Old Compton Street. I come out of there and I'm like, bam. Standing out, honestly, I'm not. I've still got it, but I will
because,
say
it's because the gays go like this.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have no shame. But curving. I love it.
I for that period of time feel like what it must be like every woman in the world for that one particular time where like men are so unsubtle and men are unsubtle when they do it to women, but men on men being unsubtle, it's like that.
But you like it though. I feel like you say it's like the ultimate compliment.
I love it.
Gay men,
I love it. Yeah, I find it so compliment.
Oh yeah, well of course. I mean, like loads. So I've been talking to. I've done a few interviews over over lockdown. I interviewed a few people that do OnlyFans, and so I interviewed Kieran Haler. You know, Katie Price's ex. I interviewed him at some point. I mean, he's not making as much money as some of the other ones, but he was saying how, I mean, one guy interviewed in America was making $100,000 a month.
What do they do on OnlyFans? They like just have a wank in front of
gets
you.
Gets his arsehole out, has a wank, shoves dildos up his ass.
Oh,
I did feel a bit weird about interviewing him when I'd seen objects go up his arsehole.
What, but you say this for 100 grand?
For researcher just, enjoyment.
For 100 grand. What does someone have to do for that? Just quickly, like what we're talking.
But it's, I mean, he's one of the biggest earners in the world. But then, so anyway, so my point is that Kieran Haler did it, and he said that none of his fans are women, not one, and he's got thousands and thousands because basically, like, what gays like and why gays like OnlyFans specifically is because, like, you just get a blokey bloke who's walking around. They just want to see him take a piss, have a wank, all that kind of stuff. They don't, like, I mean, whereas girls would be like, ew, gross man. I mean, you know, do you know what I mean? Girls don't go, I love a dirty guy who doesn't wash for weeks. Whereas, you know, gays are just like, oh, yeah.
That bit I don't get.
Totally.
I
mean, that ties in really nicely to something you wanted to ask Sam on this podcast.
Yes,
I do wash my bits.
How do I get to OnlyFans? No, that was another question. What I wanted to know was...
Even though it ties in really well, there's something else which is going to tie into it even better. So can we start questioning you, Sam?
Please, question away.
Okay, so I read in one of your recent articles, I think it was in the Times, I'm not sure, that you have a new man.
Oh, no, I think I just told you.
No, you said your new boyfriend is a frontline worker.
Oh, no, that was a bit of a Ms. piece. I don't think I even sent you that. You've done some sort of research.
No, you did send it me.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, because I did a bit about, because I was staying with my dad and he's not been well and la-da-da-da-da, and it was all really misery. But during lockdown, I didn't see him for 2 months. Because he works with the mentally ill, and I was with my dad, who was full on shielding because he's got cancer. So we went for a socially distanced walk. I said walk, we both wore masks and stuff. But it was a bit.
So you were one of those rare couples that actually didn't see each other for the entirety of the first lockdown. So how was that? How did you manage?
I was like, look, I tell you what, I'll just come round. I'll wear a mask. I'll just pull down my pants. And he's got quite a big willy, so I thought if I just put my bum against the letterbox, he can just, you know.
Shout out to Sam's boyfriend. Congratulations. Well done.
But basically that he was like, oh no, if I can't kiss you, it's not the same.
Oh, don't be like that. That's nice.
I know. I'm kidding. It is. I mean, it was nice.
Even I was a bit like, oh, that's, mate. I don't know where he's getting. That's like something that a woman wants to hear. I really want to kiss you.
Yeah.
I've had boyfriends that love kissing.
Chloe, I'd knock you through the letterbox in 5 minutes if you're given half the chance. And the problem is my willy wouldn't get through the letterbox. It'd get caught on that furry bit of the thing. I'd be like, Chloe, is it in yet? He'd be like, no. I'd be like, oh, yeah.
You could just get one of those really thin doors with no insulation.
So tell what I get though, is I'd probably get a DPD label stuck on the end of my knob because you know, they'd scrumple them up and stuff it in there.
Scrumple them up.
Yeah, they do scrumple.
Okay, wait, but so what about this lockdown? Is it the same?
He's done 7 12-hour shifts in a row this week, and he's doing that next week. And so, I mean, it's no good to me like that.
I know.
So I speak to him on the phone, and he moans. So, he's like, I've got nothing left in me. I've got nothing left in me. And I was like, well.
Well, you're no use to me, mate.
You stay there, then.
So how did you meet?
We met on a dating app. Well, I'm just going to say it was Grindr.
It's not really a dating app.
But it's the only one you lot have got, isn't it?
Well, no. There's Tinder, Scruff, loads of different things. But what
Scruff? Scruff?
Oh, you'll go down well on Scruff. Oh, there's a few one that are quite dirty as well.
When I read your article, I didn't know that when you delete someone, then you delete every like thread, every picture, every message you've ever sent them. Like, boo. And well, again, we can come on to this because we do actually have a topic for Sam after we've gossiped.
We do. But anyway, so yes. Yeah, so like the reason why I say that about Grindr is that I like up here because I'm in Hertfordshire. It is you know, it's not like being in London. It's not Soho. So if you want to meet like another gay person, you sort of meet at the pub or something. So it's more like a friends. Like make friends locally. Like I've got lots of friends that I met on Grindr that wasn't a sex thing, that I just to meet them locally because I mean, you don't go down the pub. We've got 3 pubs where I am in Welling Garden City. You don't go down there and be like, who's a gay boy? I mean, I'm wearing my sandwich board and ringing my bell anyway, but like, you know, it just doesn't happen.
I mean, it's okay. Right. So you met on Grindr, and how long have you been together now?
It'll be 2 years in January.
I didn't know it had been 2 years.
I didn't know either.
Then he sent you an anniversary card and you were like, oh.
No, it's weird. I mean, but the thing is, like, it's weird because this year is like, it's been like 6 months of it was just like lost, wasn't it, really? This would be, do you remember that year we didn't see each other for months on end?
And I worked 12-hour shifts and never spoke to you. And all you wanted was a knob through a letterbox and I wanted a kiss.
That's the one, see?
So obviously, one of the things that Chloe was talking about in your article, which was really interesting, and why we wanted to get you on here is we predominantly get messages from single men, single women, couples. We obviously have talked about lots of topics, but you know, we can't really talk from a point of authority for gay men or transgender people or whatever it might be, and or lesbians in that fact. But in this article, you talked about the fact that there was lots and lots of married, seemingly married and happily married men, but who were appearing on Grindr.
Yes.
I mean, do you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Because I think our listeners will be intrigued, and there's probably a lot of blokes going, tell what you're fucking talking about, mate. Well, it's not me.
This was the thing. I originally pitched it to You magazine, and they wanted me to do it. So I wrote it and everything. It came from a situation when I met David around then. I was, you know, meeting people. But there was a guy who was quite local to me, and he was on Grindr, and I say it with a low voice.
You whispered. He was on Grindr.
He was on Grindr. anyway, and I went around, like, I didn't really know what he looked like or anything like that, but it's just the way he spoke. I knew it wasn't like a sex thing. I wanted to meet him because I was just intrigued that he said he was married, and, you know, and I went around his house, and this is where the idea for the piece came from. Like, and he was so normal, like anyone who you would meet down, you know. So I help my sister with her kids. I pick, you know, it's like he just looked like a dad, and he had pictures of like his 2 little girls like on the wall, and he was like just really sheepish, and he was like, I've got 2 hours, my wife's taking the kids swimming, and I was like, but he was just really sad, like, and I didn't want to do anything with him because it just felt a bit like he was just like, oh, and
sad.
Like, we had a bit of a snog, and like, and he was just like, oh, and I was like, and I could just see like this misery, and I thought, fuck me, that's awful. So then I was just like, oh, sorry, I can't do this. So I left. And then he messaged me on Grindr going, that was great, meet again. And I was like, So on Grindr, it's like you have like loads of people. It's the same as any old app. You get people's faces. You don't swipe. They're just in like a grid. And like, so you have, but there's lots of blank profiles. There's no picture. It's a picture of something random. And it says on it that they're either married or they're straight or they've got a girlfriend. And then you get in contact with them. So I was messaging all these people and there was so many of
them. Wow.
People who were like,
I thought I'd seen you before somewhere.
Catfish.
It was so weird because I remember some bloke came around and gave me a terrible snog while Chloe was off swimming. I knew it was you.
You should have been on Grindr then, should you, you freak?
But I got confused. I thought it was the thing for welders and like DIY. I was like, Grindr. I was like, I fucking need one of them.
I thought it said Minder.
Oh, the best thing is I kept trying to order drills. People kept sending me dick pics. It's fucking terrible.
I said I wanted a drilling and they've got the wrong end of the sticky wick.
I wanted some raw plugs and put up a shelf. For those listening, don't go on Grindr if you're looking for DIY stuff because you'll go horribly wrong.
Well, I know of some guy that got like his wife caught him or something. He was like, oh, I'm just on there to get compliments.
What?
Sound familiar?
Tell me that she didn't believe that.
I don't know. This is the thing.
That's such like, a guy thing to say.
Well, some of the guys as well were like, oh, I think my wife knows. I think if you've been married for a while, you'd rather just pretend it wasn't happening. Yeah. Especially if you had, they might have like a loving relationship. Some of them were still having sex with their wives as well. And I was like, you do use, protection. Like, because, God, can you imagine? Yeah. Sorry, dear, I've given you chlamydia.
I think a lot of women who get cheated on find that to be the most disrespectful of all of it is if they find out because they get an STD. And then it's like, you disrespected, not only did you disrespect me, my emotional, my mental health, but you disrespected my fucking body because you couldn't keep your dick in your pants. And like, that is like the ultimate slap in the face. But so I read this article and I too found it fascinating. So I actually, one of my questions here is how did this come about and how prevalent is it? Both of which you've answered. But it is very much a prevalent thing that you and I suppose other men on Grindr have noticed that a lot of the men on there are married.
100%. I wouldn't say a lot, but I would say it was in the realm
of a substantial amount.
I'd say it was in the realm of about 20%.
Wow.
And because the nature of the app is that somebody, you can be anonymous.
Yeah.
You can say, I can't send a picture of myself or anything like that, but will you meet me? And like them thirsty gays will always turn up.
we all have our thirsty moments.
Yeah, and they're like, and obviously like it's a, so I remember somebody telling me once, like, the difference between two gay men or like, and a straight couple is like, you know, or with women in general, it's like women, there's always a woman in a relationship to say, oh, no, I'm not into it tonight or something like that. But with men, it's just nonstop. So therefore, that's why you have these dark rooms and you have like these massive sex clubs. You don't have big lesbian clubs where they're like, mash, like in the corner. Like, it's just because it's because it's men and there's nothing to stop them from going bonkers.
Because this is exactly what, so I was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Because we get a lot of people, and Chloe's very staunch against this and doesn't agree, and she feels out the two of us, she's got a higher sex drive.
What I will say, just to preface, I know what you're going to say, but just to preface it really, really quickly, I don't agree that men have a higher sex drive than women. What I do agree with is that men prefer promiscuous sex to a higher degree.
Well, men can detach their emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a much higher sex drive than you in our marriage. But I reckon if we were both single, you would probably be shagging way more than I would. Anyway, carry on.
That's why I haven't got a high sex drive. I'm doing too much shagging. I'm joking. No, my point is that I wanted to ask you is that, you know, a lot of times we get people writing in and the stereotype is that men really want sex, women, don't want it, or women have the keys. Is it like, as you just said, where two men just going, hello, mate, do you want to have sex? Like, yeah, that simple. Whereas you do that with a man or woman, it very rarely happens. Like Chloe told a story last week about an ex-boyfriend of hers who went for a chip shop and, you know, he asked for a battered sausage and so did he and she nipped around the corner and delivered it. But that's quite rare. So is it like that with men? Just that crazy?
Yes. There are things that people would put on their Grindr profile, things like fuck and go or dump and go or wow. or like I'll just be here with my pants down, just come fuck my ass and come in it and then leave. I don't even want to talk to you, see your face or anything.
Wow.
Close your mouth, James.
Yeah, oh God, he's not shocked. James is like, if I was a gay man, this would be me.
No, I'm just because I'm very interested with that because it is when all the boundaries and all the sort of...
When it's all stripped away and yeah. you don't, and it's like, you know, like in a way, it's just if you're horny and that's what you wanted to do, you don't have to go to the pub for a pint, like you under that charade, just like, you know, it's and then oh, I know we're just meeting because we're going to have sex later.
That's what I mean.
You just get rid of all of that.
But that's what men, people and women, I'm not trying to be sexist here, but there is a lot of like, if I was a man and I was single, it's like, hi, how are you? You know, what's happening? And you have to put a bit of chat in. And that's interesting enough with the dating app, when Bumble came out, the whole idea of Bumble was to let women be in charge.
Women do the choosing, don't they?
But turns out that women didn't want to make the first move. A lot of feedback came back or wouldn't message first or wouldn't say anything.
So they'd want to be complimented and they want to be like, you know, yeah, wooed, I suppose.
Wooed, yeah.
Yeah, wooed, right? One of our mates who's single was saying that, you know, like he went on a date for dinner and, you know, she was like, oh, I don't think I can come back. And there's all this kind of pretense, like, oh, I shouldn't. And they get
was it just a charade?
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not like that.
It's
and then
play.
Before you know it, he's hanging out the back of her. But all that pretense, whereas you're basically saying that if I was single or Chloe was single in an alternate universe, I would literally go, do you want to fuck? You're like, yep. Or no.
Well, this is the thing. There's a lot of cutting out the middleman. And I mean, there's obviously, I'm not saying that, like, there's obviously a lot. And the majority of people would be like, I'm not just here for sex. I want, you know, I want to meet someone. I want to go for dates, blah, 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 blah. But especially, you know, if these married guys, they're not there for a relationship. They're there because they have this need that they need to get rid of, basically.
Yeah.
They don't want it. Like, if they could erase that part of them, they would, because I mean, they've tried so hard for however many years to do so to begin with. So it just needs to, like, basically one guy told me that it just sort of builds up in him, like, and he forgets about it, and then it gets too much. After a couple of months, he downloads Grindr again, gets on it, gets his rocks off, deletes it again, and he forgets about it for another 2 months.
And I think that's a very universal truth for anybody. And I'm not saying that being gay is a fetish. that sexuality.
Those dirty gays.
Those dirty fetish men.
Festering.
Ultimately, your sexual kind of desire ultimately is going to get the better of you. And it's actually more about learning how to manage that in your day-to-day life and kind of have a balance. So one of the things I really wanted to ask you is, why do you think that there are so many adult gay men who are not only still in the closet, but also married and or with kids?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I think there was an age group of the people that I spoke to, like, I think there was a guy in his 60s. I think one guy maybe like in like early 70s, and the rest of them were like, you know, 40s and 50s. And because I think obviously nowadays, I think, okay, basically, like, I'm 40, and when I was it wasn't amazing when I was like 18, 19, and I, you know, and I felt the pressure of like, oh, I should try and have a girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. But I think nowadays a lot of the time they don't even feel that pressure. So that's a lot of that is taken off. So especially one thing I did work, because it was quite a long piece I wrote. It ended up in the Times because the head honchos at the Mail on Sunday were like, oh, it's too much.
And also
the title of the piece was, is your husband on Grindr? And I wanted like people to be sat there reading their Mail on Sunday, like in bed, like just going,
I love
it. Do you reckon there would have been, like, because you know women like pick stuff up all the time and like you think they're not listening. Like Chloe's like Sherlock Holmes. I reckon she would have been like that in bed, like reading it, and she would have been like that. Giving that fucking side.
Why are you reading that?
You know there's that meme with that dog that's just like,
Side-eye.
You know, yeah, it's side-eyeing. Chloe, like, the whole time, like, doing weird things, like, buying me a magazine of someone in swimming trunks. Do you like that thing? And I'm like, what do you mean?
Or, so, like, shall I tell you how, so, for you, for me, in my head, this is how I perceive you and your sexuality. If someone were to say to me, you or someone else, oh, James once tried to be gay for a month, I would believe it 100%.
Yes.
But if someone turned to me and was like, James is, like, fully, fully gay, I'd be like, no, he's not. He's just not. But I reckon...
He is going to be sticking things up his ass for 100 grand a month. On OnlyFans very soon.
I mean, you are fruity.
Yeah, I am fruity, Chloe. I'm 100 grand fruitier at this rate.
Well, this is the thing. They're not, I mean, like, a lot of these people on, I mean, we're digressing again, but like a lot of people on these OnlyFans, they're completely straight, happy with their sexuality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like, they'll, you know, they'll just wank off and they'll shove something up. And like, the more you engage, if you shove something up your ass, you're still, that doesn't make you gay. Why not?
Oh, God.
That's what last episode. We're saying, you know, but a lot of simple-minded people, we'll come on to this once you've answered Chloe's question, but there are a lot of simple-minded people who are like, oh, put something up your ass, you're gay.
It's completely.
Gay mate.
Gay mate. They obviously haven't tried it.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? And I'll tell you now, every man that has tried it, gay or straight, likes it.
So what have you said about, so you said it was in the Sunday Times and what, and they ended up...
Oh, right, yeah. So the Mail on Sunday, I think they got the willies about it, and it was, ironically. and they thought it was a bit much for their audience. So I pitched it to the Times, and it came. And then, obviously, the whole thing was when Philip Schofield came out. They were like, "Oh my god, it's completely relevant now to do it now." So as I was saying before, like, it's, I think it's definitely an age thing, but also it's for guys that feel like, especially there was, you know, some religious guys on there who couldn't come out because they were Muslim or because they were Hindu, and their families wouldn't approve. So one guy, he was like, he had three kids, lived in the local area. He loved his wife. A lot of them said that they loved their wives, and just, aww, it was just, I know, it was just sort of like a thing. Like, sweet. And it's sad, you know, really, really sad.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know, Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today, but this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty, because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. Mm-hmm. It's my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me, and health conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the Slow Reader Group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Do you think any of it, I know you said, Chloe said that being gay isn't, obviously isn't a fetish, which is right, but do you think any of it was just thrill seeking? Like, you know, there's a point where you've done everything and you're like, I want to try something a bit risque, and because you don't want to marry a man or date a man.
I do think obviously sexuality is, you know, grey.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's no one's fully one way or the other. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, like maybe, you know, a guy gets a bit pissed and he's like, oh, do you know what? I have thought about it sometimes. I'd let a guy suck me off or something. Do you know what I mean? And then do it and then be like, wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
Because I've snogged girls and, you know, fiddled around with their boobies. And
I'm sure I've been one of them.
That is the most amateur description of anything. You're definitely a gay man. It's like, I fiddled with some boobies.
I think I've probably made out with almost all of my gay friends.
That's different. That's more like snogging your friends. I mean, like, yeah. I had a girlfriend and I knew she was super into me. And, you know, I got some fingers in the till one night, and then that was enough for me.
Right. That was too much. You have tried it, but it wasn't for you.
I was like, vagina dentata. No, I'm joking.
My brother's gay, and he was like, I said to him, you know, but...
Did he sleep with a girl?
Yeah, I think so. A few girls, I think. But I think it wasn't for him. He basically said that if you're going to design something that was horrific, a vagina is what you would design. If it was like something terrible. I was like...
Hell mouth.
Yeah, hell mouth.
I understand what you mean. Too. I think I knew your brother.
A warm pot.
I think Chloe was going to try and set me up with him once.
I was in the beginning when we first saw five, 6 years ago. I was going to try and set you guys up. And why didn't I?
If he's still available, like, you know, I haven't seen the boyfriend for months.
He's got quite a big knob. We put it through the letterbox.
Put it through my letterbox.
Does he have a big knob?
I don't know. I don't know.
What was I going to say? Oh, I know why. Because he met that guy. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah.
Where was he? Denmark or something?
Yeah, I don't know where it was from. Yeah.
They're having
it was a long time ago.
It was a mink.
There's obviously fannies are beautiful. It's just when they're, you know, displayed.
They're beautiful when they're hidden.
It's just a bit like, you know, predator.
Yeah, but that's what I know. But the thing with it is gay men say that though. Is that I look at a fanny, I think, oh, that's lovely. That's the best.
I want to stick it in it, right?
Yeah.
And then
not every fanny, but then you look at a willy and you're like, oh, you know. And
they
all look gross. But what I mean is, it's just interesting to be wired to the point where you'll look at a willy and go, God. I want a little bit of that. And then and you look at Fanny like, oh, that's hell mouth.
Well, that's the thing. The way I think it's always in the back of your mind. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you're, you know, in the closet, whatever, like that's must be, you know who you are because of what you think about when you have a wank. Do you know what I mean?
Well, hang on. Hang on. This is a very grey area. I am a straight girl, but I can say, hand on heart, I've seen photos or, you know, porn with penises and been like, ugh, rank. Same. I've seen photos or porn of penises and been like, oh, I like that. I like the look of that one. And same
depends on the penis.
Yeah, but same goes for vaginas. I've seen, you know, vaginas and been like, oh, no, that doesn't do anything for me. That's awful. Take it away now.
And then there are vaginas, I want a munch.
I've seen one recently, actually, on a porn clip that I watched. I'm not saying that. It was a porn clip I was shown, FYI. But I do like, whatever, it's fine.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, and I was like, wow, her vagina's amazing. Yeah. Like, yeah. Sorry, but
yeah,
you
but
can,
did you think
you
it was beautiful,
both.
As in beautiful, like, but did you want to, like, you know?
Not, no, I didn't want to get
that's
into
the
it.
Well, that's the difference. You can appreciate how beautiful it is. If you
fine.
By having it, a gay person on here that we might like upgrade our uses of language and terminology and that we were going to like get ourselves out of the dark ages.
Have the wrong person.
Fiddle with boobies, a nice fanny hanging out the back of a letterbox. I'm the only sensible one on this evening's podcast.
I mean, I highly doubt that.
I was asking about that. So you think it, you know, you said while they might be trying something, you know, because for example, Chloe always tells me that, you know, some of the biggest you porn things that are being sort of Googled are fat women, transgender porn.
Transgender is the number straight man watched porn.
Yeah. That's why I'm interested with it is whether these guys are genuinely gay and aren't able to come out, like you said, for religion and everything like that, or it's... you know, they fetishize it so much that they want to do it. And as soon as they come, they're like, actually, this isn't for me. Delete it, get away from it, and then go again. Because that sounds quite possibly.
And it's sort of like, you know, when you see like one of the oven rings is red and you're like, don't touch it. But you're like,
Who does that?
They're sort of like, I don't know, crazy people. Well, I've actually got a burn on my arm. It wasn't from that. It was from cooking sausages. And that's not a euphemism.
Ironic.
So I think, yeah, maybe. But the thing is, because obviously sexuality is such a grey area, sometimes people think, oh, you know, I'm just going to give it a try, and then decide they don't like it. And then because it's so fluid now, you know, you're allowed to. This is why I think what we're saying before about it's an age thing. Like, obviously you get, there's a whole broad spectrum now with young people, whatever, when, you know, you can be non-binary, et cetera. You can decide who you are and who you want to sleep with. So you can, you know, there's no holds barred, no holes barred. Mm-hmm. But it's just you can, they can be who they want to be. So therefore they don't necessarily feel like they have to fit into a pigeonhole. Anything goes nowadays. So I just think it's much better for everybody's mental health to feel like they're not trapped.
Did you come up with any conclusions from the piece in terms of, you know, how to maybe perhaps liberate these men? Was there, did people reach out to you and say, oh my God, I'm struggling anonymously? What was the response to it?
A couple of people messaged me on Facebook and were like, oh, thank you for writing that. I'm in the same position. But it's a case of sometimes it's too far. Like this was a thing with Phil. I mean, we don't know, you know, whether he came out on his own or whether he was pushed, but it was all to do with just like timing and do you really want to throw your life into disarray? I mean, if you're in your 60s and you're like one guy that I spoke to, his kids had left home and, you know, and he had grandkids and stuff. So it was like, what is the point in rocking the boat now? I mean, he wasn't miserable. He was okay. I think the difference is if you are like that and you feel like you wish you had a relationship with a man, and, you know, because a lot of these people wouldn't even consider having like a loving relationship with a man. It's just like sex and then get rid.
Okay, so I wanted to, my last question with you on Is Your Husband on Grindr? I renamed it back to the original
because
I much preferred the original title. Are there any warning signs for either gay men to look out for, that someone that they're shagging or dating is actually married, or married women to look out for that their husband might in fact be gay?
I think you're more likely, if you were like shagging a guy, you're more likely to know that he was married, and it's up to you whether you want to carry on with that, you know, because you could have like a regular person, oh, they're married and their wife doesn't know, and then it gets all very confusing.
Yeah.
But I think I think the gay person in that situation would be the one in the know. Then you've got the straight guy who's like, and unfortunately it feels like the wife or the woman in the situation is the last to know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say she was a loser. I would say, you know, it depends. Because as I said, sometimes I think they would have an inkling and they just didn't want to know. But I think a lot of the time they definitely would want to know. And also, I think my sister said this, she would rather her husband cheated on her with a man than with another woman.
I can understand that fully.
Well, because you can never be a man, so you can't. Well, you're good enough as, you're the perfect woman, you're the perfect wife, but you're not a man. So
I 100% agree on two of those points. So I would say half of my female friends have told me, and this is not me, as I'm sure both of you know, have told me that if their husband was cheating on them, you know, fill in the blank where you want, but they don't want to know. They do not want to know. They're happy. They're cool. I am the exact opposite. If my partner is cheating on me, I want to fucking know about it. I want to have a conversation. I want to figure it out. Right?
I'd get some garden shit and say let's do the letterbox thing.
Even when she says it, it's not like I'd like to have conversations. I want to have a conversation. We're gonna have a chat. It's already scary.
No, but then I would say so that's where I stand. However, I will caveat it with this. Once I know, there is no 100%. You know, set in stone answer that I would go with. There's no that I can think of situations where if you cheated on me, I would probably leave. But even then, I can't say definitely. And I can think of situations where if you cheated on me, I might not leave. And I think it's completely a woman's prerogative as to how she handles it. But I do, you know, obviously I agree with you. I think it's so sad because ultimately it's a life that lacks authenticity. And I don't know how much authentic joy you can get in a life that doesn't have authenticity as its foundation. Does that make sense?
No, I agree with you. I mean, if that, especially if it's, because I think one of these guys I spoke to, he'd only gotten married like a year or two before. And I was like, didn't you feel like it was the wrong thing to do? Or like, and he was like, no, I loved her. I want to have kids, that sort of thing. And, but they're sort of setting themselves up for that. I think obviously it's, I can't even bear to think of half these people's mental health issues. But like, I think, you know, as it's very, you have to compartmentalize like your life and your sexuality and all of that. So it'd be a nightmare. But I think there could be a way, depending on if she loved him and she was happy with the situation, that she would allow him once a month or something.
She could potentially find a sexual partner herself. I mean,
she might not want to. She might say, like, I tell you what, I know I love you. You're a great dad to our kids. Like, you're a great dad to our kids. You go and have sex with a man once a month, and then that's it.
If that was us, and you decided you were gay, and I decided to stay with you because we're married and we had kids, I would 100% go looking for D on a Friday night.
Like, but that's the point. You've got your D. You don't need any more D. Don't be such a greedy D.
You can have my D. We can't smidge more. It's already 10.
No, but I really agree with your sister on that as well. I think, like, if you know you can't compete, then I think you either have to accept, like, I don't think it would be quite so painful. Definitely, because your pride wouldn't be hurt. But then I think it might be more painful in that you would know now that this wasn't a one-time thing. This was, your husband would never be satisfied.
Yeah, exactly. And that you're never going to be the only one. And if he says you're the only one, then he's either lying or he's repressing a part of himself that will ultimately make him miserable.
Do you think that in 2020, you know, we say we've made a lot of progress with accepting people, do you feel normal society is accepting of gay, lesbians and transgender people? Do you genuinely feel that some of these people who are concerned about coming out, it's misplaced? Or do you think a lot of it, there's still a lot of work to be done?
Absolutely. There's loads of work to be done. I mean, like, if you just get shitty comments from people on Twitter, etc., then you know there's work to be done. As soon as there's no comments, which, I mean, God knows that would ever happen. I think at the moment it's the target is the trans community, and I think it's almost the last taboo that you're allowed to be just blatantly transphobic. And people, like, I mean, did you look at the whole furore with J.K. Rowling? I mean, like, it's such murky waters. But at the same time, it's like they have human rights too. And I think that gay people, like gays and lesbians, have a much better time of it. And it obviously depends on what country you're in, etc. And like, but I think with trans people, I think they get a lot of shit that they do not deserve. I think there's a lot of newspapers out there that still peddle this fear that I think is completely unfair.
We've mentioned one of them in this podcast.
One paper will be invaded by gay, transgender immigrants. That's the next one. There'll be a battle. You know, on that issue, though, just interesting, because I don't want to go too much into it because it's not for this podcast. But obviously, I think sometimes sexuality and gender get confused.
Yes.
Do you find, because obviously a lot of the good work that's been done, because this stuff is sometimes confusing it, do you think that's an issue?
I think, obviously, no, I think the two things are separate. I agree with you. Like, how you identify as a gender, that's got nothing to do with who you fancy. But how you identify gender-wise, that's yours. That's what belongs to you. And again, neither of those things are anyone's fucking business.
Right? I fucking love that.
I was going to say, a lot of times I've met gay men, not in car parks and when Chloe's out.
And dump and go, was it?
Dump and go.
That would be, Chloe, if he thought, was gay, that would be his.
I thought it was wash and go.
Chloe thought the local tip was called dump and go because that's where I was going 6 days a week. I was having to dismantle part of the house just to get these shoes. What I was going to ask was, is a lot of gay men talk about, oh, they only go for single men. Sorry, they go for sorry, they go for straight men.
Yeah, I do, and I think, and I know a lot of people that do that. And in my mind, I think is there is something. It's like it's always going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and a lot of people and a lot of people develop feelings for these straight men, and it's like he's never going to be into you, or it's never going to work out. I'd be like, it's like a girl going out with a bad boy. I always go out with a bad boy because I can change him. Do you know what I mean?
Hi,
I did, and I did.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But like, you're never going to change. And I think it's also there's a sort of self-flagellation about it as well. It's a bit like, you know, you know you're going into it, and you know you're going to get hurt. So what? I think it shows kind of a low opinion of yourself.
I agree. And I also think it shows somebody, so I know somebody that she's gay, and she will only go for straight women, only. And I think it might be because she fucking loves a challenge, loves a challenge. And I think there's something wrapped up in that, but it is a dangerous game to play because unrequited love is a horrific thing to have to go through.
It is. I mean, okay, like going back to what I was saying before, about why people end up getting married, like as I said, I was early 40s, but I have never really been I've never really been able to hide that I'm gay. Do you know what I mean? Because
I don't believe you, Sam. What do you mean? How do you say you can't?
How dare you?
Is it because you ran up and go, well, no, listen, when I get a girl home, I just like to play fiddle with her boobs. And I go, she's got a face like a predator, a muff like a predator. I'm like, that potentially might be what's giving it away.
But I wouldn't have said that when I was younger. Obviously.
Oh, right.
But apparently, when I was a little boy, like my sister, there's a video of me and my sister falls off the wall, and I go, oh, how peculiar. I like three.
Yeah, I can.
James doesn't know you that well, but actually, I will say, I have seen Sam in like social situations or like just being with him. Like, genuinely, you would have no idea that he's gay, and then he can swing like a pendulum, and then before you know it, he is the only gay in the village.
When you were six, you were embroidering silk ruffs onto jackets. And
the thing is, I can be quite blokey. I love playing video games. I like sports stuff and things, just things like that. But like, my point was that I think because you know, people would say, you're gay at school. There was never really any escape for me. But with a lot of guys, maybe your brother, I don't know, but like if they're quite blokey, they know they're gay in their head, but they don't have to address it because nobody says anything to them. And therefore, like it stays repressed and no one has ever said anything to them ever because they're you know, like quite a butch gay. So they don't have to... They feel like they don't have to come out, and they'll just go and have, you know, their life, etc. So I think with your friend who just goes for straight girls, maybe she likes, you know, like totally femme girls who don't look anything like they're gay, etc., etc., etc.
Oh yeah, that's 100% her, to a T.
Exactly.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Did you feel like you had to, did you have to come out, or were your parents like, we know, or you know,
get out or we'll throw you out?
Sam's family are not like that.
No, they're not. I was I was bisexual for a little bit. Bi now, gay later.
We've all had a bisexual period.
Yeah, exactly. It was a period that was the problem. It was just, I think after a while, I said to my mum, look, there isn't going to be any more girls, and she was like, oh, I know. She said we knew since you were young, and I was like, well, you might have told me.
Is that because you were walking around with driving one of them red little Diamante buggies that you'd put sequins on?
No. Sam is not a Diamante kind of guy. Okay,
I'm not that kind of gay, for God's sake.
No, all can right. We give him a bit more credit?
Okay. Well, I like Diamantes. Well,
one thing that you will find with gays as well is that they're quite anti-camp people, and especially if they're quite camp themselves, they're like, see that guy, he's so fucking camp, it's rank. And you're like, okay. And the thing is, like, there's nothing wrong with being camp, there's nothing wrong with being booked.
If you meet or come into contact with a young boy, very much a boy, not an adolescent, certainly not an adult, who might not know yet that he's gay, camp is quite often the case, and actually it's not, there's nothing wrong with it, because it's not, I don't personally think it's anything that you can necessarily control, and if you do, it's not without a huge effort. So I don't like it when gay men say that either, and I hear that all the time, like, oh, I can't stand people who are camp. I'm like, you don't really get to choose what your kind of,
and look at the friggin' mirror, dearie.
Yeah, all the time.
If I spend a night out with like a load of gay men, I get so handsy cat. I love it. Close it, looking at them.
It's quite.
I love it.
It does rub off on you quite a lot. Yeah.
You did have one bad experience in Soho once, though. Do you remember? Somebody propositioned you, or like kind of semi, no pun intended, assaulted you. My God, that was horrific. Like, now I know how women feel.
Yeah. No, because I was on that pride thing, what we talked about at the top of the show. I was getting groped all the time, like grabbing my will and my ass and stuff. And I was like, oh, look. You know, I don't mind. It's quite funny. But after like the ninth or tenth time,
funny to begin with.
But there was two things. Some of the state of the men that were coming on to me, I was like, "Fuck me!" Even if I was gay, I ain't banging you. You're horrible, right? So I was disappointed in that. So my ego was dented. But there was one guy that I was standing in the queue trying to go to the toilet, and he grabbed my ass. And I kept turning around and said, "Listen." And the problem is, because I'm quite big. I don't care about it, but there's boundaries, and I was like,
you don't want to be like, it's aggressive.
I didn't want to reprimand him, but by the fifth time, I was like, please, I'm not gay. And he was like, Kiwi. And I was like, mate, please, could you not? And like, I tried to go into the toilet. He tried to push me into the toilet with him. I was like, I don't. And all what I had to do is say, listen, this is not for me. And I had to just leave.
And I just want to say, for anybody listening to this, that is not a normal thing that happens. No.
But the thing is, I've been at a party and somebody did that with me, and he kept doing it. And I was just like, honestly, you do it one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face. And he did it, and I punched him in the face. But the thing is, for me, I'm sure it didn't really hurt that much, but...
I just didn't feel like I was empowered to be able to do anything without just being... Because I didn't...
Plus, you have a profile, so you don't... You like, you know, James Haskell hits gay man.
That's what I mean. I just didn't...
Homo bash.
The gay community know that they have a supporter in you.
Of course,
we're coming towards the end there, but there are a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. Was, so you've talked about the fact that you can have sex whenever you want, essentially being a gay man, that it's very open, sort of the middleman's been taken away. Does that make having a gay relationship more difficult, and do you find it being faithful more challenging than say single people do?
You know, my sister's asked that before. It's like, and my dad's asked that before. It's like, it's no different to straight people. If you both want to be in something, I mean, the thing is, like, I have some friends who have open relationships, and but obviously this has
shame.
This has to be like, and again, you can have a male to female open relationship. That's fine. And so I think it's just human nature. It's just down to the people. I mean, that sort of thing wouldn't be for me at all. I would fucking hate it.
Same. Yeah, that's completely right. That's a very individual thing. I've got loads of gay and straight friends that are both in open relationships and monogamous relationship. It's got nothing to do with your sexuality, and it's actually got everything to do with your personal preference of a relationship.
The only difference, what you were saying, is that you can have sex whenever you want. Yes, it is easier because you've got the whole no female saying no thing. That is the only difference. It's like, and the whole, like, because I don't... You know, women wouldn't women wouldn't do dump and go. I mean, I've seen a few dogging videos. Sometimes maybe some of them would be, but oh, terrible ladies.
No, not for me at all. And I'm really like pro sex, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I had a shocker the other day. I had to stop eating some food, and I pulled into one of those lay-bys and I accidentally turned on the lights open and someone came wanking through the window.
I was trying to
eat a Big Mac, honestly.
You're joking.
Yeah, of course I'm joking.
For fuck's sake.
Or am I? I've never wanked in my window. You know who you are.
Really convincing story.
One last question to kind of finish on. You said at the top of the show about some of the weird sort of things that gay men are into. Is it anything that you just think you can't understand? Because I the bit about not washing, you know, I spoke to my brother about this and he's not into this, but the whole kind of, you know, body odour thing and the not washing thing.
I don't mind body odour on a man. If I fancy them, it's not a turn on.
There are some things that I do not understand. Like, there's like a bit metal thing that guys stick down their urethra.
Sounding, it's called.
Yes, that. No, I don't understand that. Fisting, not really. I don't really get that. I would like to be able to go for a shit. Again. Yeah. Not just have to wear a nappy. And things to do like anything like electric, like zzz, zzz, I don't get that either. I mean, just things that go a bit too dark, because like, I mean, there's blood play and stuff that people do.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not just. Can I also just say this is not all just. This
oh no, that's just not. That's across the board.
I mean, yeah, I've heard some stories from really tame sex parties, like Torture Garden, right, which is considered to be.
Yeah, a friend of mine runs it.
Right. Okay. So it's considered to be a tamer sex party in the grand scheme of things, and I've had some friends go and tell me things, and I'm like, that's not tame. Like that's way across the line that 99.9% of people are behind. And but a lot of people have some weird shit going on.
They do, and the thing is, it is personal preference. And the problem is like you were saying, James. Like I think this is often the case with maybe like, you know, rock superstars, for example, who can have anything on a plate, and they end up like pushing themselves. Yeah. Like nothing thrills them anymore until they go full on
the next
dark.
High. Yeah.
Yeah, until they go really dark shit, and then. Well,
that's what I mean, but it's like you know, you've shagged everything one way, so you're like, I'm gonna do it this way, and you're like, it's still not filling me. And then you know, I think also porn's got a lot to do with it, because whereas you can imagine
stuff, 100%,
you know, you can imagine stuff in your head, is that once you've watched, because you know that, for example, that the stuff that I would watch now in comparison to what I was watching when I was 15, where you just see a pair of boobs and your willy goes off like a rocket. Yeah. Now, unless it's some real professional stuff going on,
that's the thing, like so I said in my book, The Insider. So it's basically tips for straight women from a gay guy, and like because they've told me all their secrets, etc., and all their horrific stories. And one of the stories in there was I talk about porn in one of the chapters, and a friend of mine's brother. He couldn't keep a girlfriend, and they didn't understand why. And basically, because he had grown up on porn, and he thought that women liked to get a big bursts of cum in their face after sex, so he would do it every time. And they'd be like, "Oh, I fucking don't want that." And then, and that would be the end of that. Each time he slept with a woman, the woman would have a terrible sexual experience because he thought he was learning from pornography. So, I mean,
what? I will say, I will speak to this. I am a generation of woman who has a generation of man alongside them that have grown up watching porn. And what I will say is I'm very lucky in that I am very sexual and very open to a lot of things. But that isn't necessarily the case for everybody. Right. And even I have had experiences where I've been like, how did you think I would enjoy that? How did you think that would be a pleasant experience for me?
Yeah.
And there is nothing...
You shit in my mouth.
You shit on my head. What the fuck are you doing? No.
Why
did this happen, God? But the second that you...
I told you not to tell him about that. Fucking hell.
The second that you... that a woman doesn't feel physically safe or comfortable with you. And it's not necessarily your fault. Like I say, if you've grown up on porn and you've misread the situation. But the second that that goes, that's gone. Mm. And it is really scary and really depressing. And again, like I say, we're clearly very open about sex. We clearly talk about it very freely. Mm. But at the same time, even I find it quite scary and depressing how fucked up, especially young men, their sexual kind of appetites have become because they've watched some fucking.
And then, of course, that's crazy. That's before you even factor in Instagram. Feed it, or like your Love Island bodies, for example. You're just like, I feel for my nieces, they're like 9 and 11. I just think, oh my God, never go on social media ever. But like, you know, it's like the combination of social media and porn. It's just like, I mean, you're not going to find anyone like that. You don't look like that. People don't want that. Stop trying to look for someone that does look like that, because you'll never find them.
I know so many people who've done Love Island and they fucking starve themselves, get personal trainers, go crazy a few months before filming. They don't really eat when they're in there. They like sip their drink and then that's pretty much it. They don't look like that 6 months after the show. So it's, and it's the same with Instagram, you know, like men and women kind of promoting these body types that aren't what they look like in real life. Exactly. And then having 12, 15, 18 year old young men being like, well, that's what women have to look like. And same with porn, that's how women have to fuck. No,
exactly.
It's they're not like real. Life.
All like dirty bitches each time. I'm like, oh.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
Is that the dirty bitch thing?
I don't know what that was. Put it in my mouth.
That was like sort of Cruella de Vil. So you're saying your book's out at the moment. Where can people get it?
Oh, just get it online on Amazon, The Insider by me, Sam Dowler. But I also do a weekly radio show on Vibe FM and a weekly podcast called United Queendom. And then next, on the 10th of November, I'm on some sort of celebrity show as well. And that's every week on ITVB.
Ooh.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. And just for anybody who listens to this podcast who's got any concerns about sexuality and everything else like that,
email Sam.
Reach out.
I would love to be your gay agony uncle if you need any help in the future.
I think you should come back every 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah, we'll get send your questions into cqquestions@jameshaskell.org and we'll get Sam to
come
back on for a quick fire question and answer and see what he thinks. And again,
quick fire and go.
Yeah. Dump and go. All I'll say is as well is that I, from my view on sexuality and why it's so important for me, we don't have prejudice against gay and straight people, transgender, anyone, is because imagine trying to live your life being someone you're not the whole time. And what Sam's talked about with those married men who, for religion or whatever reason, aren't able to be themselves. It's hard enough to be yourself these days and not be able to be somebody. It's a privilege to pretend to be someone else. So if you are struggling, then reach out to us. We can maybe shed some light on it. Reach out to Sam. Grab his book now. Sam, there are some more questions I want to talk to you about. Like, what happens to older gay men? Because I spoke to my brother.
Put out to pasture.
Apparently, you just become gentlemen who share.
You open up a tea cake shop in Brighton.
But apparently, it's something that is like a topic that isn't talked about. That basically,
I'd love to talk about that.
Well, so I want to know because apparently it's the biggest fear of. But we'll get you back on to talk
Sam's
about that.
Sam's a real, real journalist. So like, he's had these conversations. He's written these articles. He's asked these questions. So we do need to get.
Get you back on, Sam. You're brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you after all these years, James. Actually,
Have a night out.
Yeah, we will do 100%.
We'll have a night. I'll stay away from your letterbox.
Find you guys around a dark corner.
Yeah. Chloe, I just tried it for the first time.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to try it. He said, you know, never try it, never know. Anyway, this is Couples Quarantine. That was episode 14, I think. Please share, please subscribe. We're available on YouTube as well. Obviously, a podcast and all your wherever you get your podcast from. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Midley.
That was Sam Dowler. We love you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.